I'll please rise. Please join me in the salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here. All present, counted for. Thank you, Council. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the period for the public to comment on anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything that's not on tonight's agenda. So if you've signed up for any of the issues, this is not the time to speak. This is the time to speak to the council. Anything that's on your mind that's not on tonight's agenda, we'd ask that you state your name, your address if possible, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. I think we have a long agenda tonight, so I'll be pretty serious about the 3 minute. Sam will have his timer. So at this time, anyone would like to speak to the council? We have one there. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Laura Edwards, owner of Laura's Creative Attic and the 2013 chair for the Ferndale Public Market, and I'm a Custer resident, but Ferndale is still a city that I really like. Thank you so much for supporting the 2013 season of the Ferndale Public Market. I would also like to thank Kathy Watson, our Ferndale City Council liaison, for all of her help, answering questions, and doing whatever extra little things we needed. Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome.
Despite a few bumps, we had a great year. We lost board members, two secretaries, and a manager, but we got through it all. When the manager left, we decided we were too small right now to need a manager, and also to use our funds in other ways more wisely. We increased our publicity, including radio spots and coupons in the Ferndale Record. EVT was started this year. We had two farmers this year sign up and approve for the WIC and senior programs. Our total number of vendors, including full-time, half-time, and day vendors, was 25, and we had two child vendors. Our market had a better year than last year. I never received the totals from our former manager, so these totals are for May 25th through October 19th, minus 2 weeks I wasn't there. Our vendors made farmers $14,564, food vendors $7,087, and craft vendors $10,247. For a grand total of $31,898. We began having one special event every month and have already planned the dates for the 2014 season because we need to make the deadline for the Ferndale Chamber of Commerce printing calendar. We have voted for a new board for the 2014 season for a total of 8 board members with one spot still open. At our next board meeting, we will vote for who will be chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. Thank you again for supporting the Ferndale Public Market.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any
questions?
No questions? Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you increase that total. That's great to know it's larger than last year. Okay, anyone else from the audience? Anyone? Okay. John?
Oh.
You're anyone.
Yes, I am. Papa John Robinson, 6072, Malloy Avenue, otherwise known as Malloy House. Noid, N-O-I-D, everybody in front of me, the August folks in front and in behind me, remember that word, N-O-I-D. I'm going to try to truncate my comments, so remember if you know somebody named Kate, keep them out of the trunk. Anyhow, here's the point. All of us here in this room, every one of us are related. In front of me, behind me, we're all related. Here's all I know, we're all related. N-O-I-D. How many of you would have to admit you've once been annoyed? I've seen some head shaking. I see one hand behind me, but... Okay, so therefore that proves we're all related because we've always been annoyed at one time or another. Now here's the... What you want to stay away from is this issue, particularly the mayor, because I can tell he shaves often. If you're in the mirror, looking in the mirror, and you look cross-eyed, you know what you'd have then? You have a paranoid. Don't be paranoid. Stay. Don't look cross-eyed in the mirror. And the third thing is, if we have such a if you're, and I forgot my line here, forget it. I told you I draw blanks. No crayons, no pencils, no paper. I can just draw them by myself. And how many minutes do I have left?
1.5.
Okay. The other thing is, I know this old guy who thinks he's a good citizen, so he walks on the street. Since he can't pick up women, he picks up trash. Much lighter. Much easier, too, in life. But the point here is, unless you want to track trash, and I think you want to track people and businesses, not rats, okay? Trash attracts trash, which attracts rats. Let's have more, and I know this, so I'm preaching to the audience, I mean to the choir or whatever. Let's have more trash receptacles down here going heading east so that we can keep our city looking beautiful, because one of the things people like to see is a clean community. So I try to keep my puns clean.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Go ahead, try to talk back. I dare you. Okay. Now for some more fun stuff. Council, I have the consent agenda before you.
Move to approve.
Second. Okay, move and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up, another fun thing. Very rarely do we get to tell you that our city staff does a great job. We're going to bring a couple gentlemen up that will tell you that our city does do a great job. So, Janice, want to do some introductions?
Good evening, Council, and Mayor and staff. Tonight we're pleased to have two representatives from the Washington State Department of Ecology here to present to our wastewater treatment plant operators the Outstanding Wastewater Treatment Plant Award. We have Doug Allen and Mark Henderson.
Greetings. It's not always that you are happy to get a visit from the state government, but tonight we're here to give you good news, and that is you have achieved the Outstanding Performance Award for 2012 for the operation of the Ferndale Wastewater Treatment Plant, and that means that you've had a flawless year of performance, no discharges, no paperwork snafus, every T dotted and every I crossed, and it's a big deal. It's not easy to do, and this is the fourth time you've been able to achieve this. So I just want to tell everyone congratulations and congratulations to your staff for being able to achieve this.
And how many years was that we've done it? Just again?
Four. Yeah. 4 years you've done it. And so I'd really like to, if I might, award it to Mike, and what's the Mike O'Leary? Mike.
Dennis? Come on up.
Come on up.
Come on, Dennis.
Come on, Dennis. We know you're shy.
Come on.
Hey, Sam.
This award.
Sam, can you get up?
Without these guys doing it, the plant doesn't run itself. And these guys are the ones that make this happen. It's 100% the plant. So that's pretty rare air when you're in their realm. And I give my own award only the operators in Whatcom County. If they win this award, they're the only ones in the state to get the Order of the Golden Plunger.
It's a big deal.
Well done. Thank you. Thank you for presenting that again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Thank you. I think the young gentleman was just made him have him stay up here. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But no, you can
have him come back.
You can stay up.
You can't hide. Come back.
We want to look at you.
Okay, so of course I want to just give my staff just a big thank you, because I'm counting on them 24/7 to keep that plant running and stay in compliance with all of our permitting requirements, and that takes a lot of work, and they get a lot of things just thrown at them, but they just have to react. And so just big thanks to the staff. And then I'm very pleased to introduce our new operator in training. We've waited a long time to fill this position, and this is Jesse Widener. And he's actually definitely a Ferndale boy. So he was, I think he's lived here most of his life, probably
up till now.
All of it, right?
Or not that long of a life.
Yeah. And went graduated from Ferndale High School, and he's actually still living here. He went to Bellingham Technical College. He got a diesel technology degree.
Excellent.
And he has a some great experience working on, you know, in construction, general maintenance, and we're just really pleased to have him here working for us. He's very interested in learning about the plant operation, and he was kind of motivated and has a desire to work for, you know, water and wastewater. So we're just really pleased to have him here.
What was it? I didn't catch his name.
His last name.
Jesse.
Winder, just like.
Winder. Okay.
Well, let's welcome Jesse.
Welcome, boy.
Now, we do have some high school students. I think we do have some high school students.
Get out of it.
Jesse, do you want to say anything? Or?
Yeah.
Microphone.
Uh-huh.
Speech.
You didn't prepare a speech?
No, I didn't.
You have 3 minutes.
Stay in school.
So I don't know if I see. We've missed some high school students. But I think it's important to note that there's a great thing is that we hire people from our town. You know, we like to see people from our town and advance, so do stay in school and come back and get a job with us. Now, one more person, because I just want to embarrass this person a little bit. When you're working in a sewer plant, you're on call 24 hours a day. You get calls at weird hours, and so you have to have an understanding wife. So in the back, Leslie. Say hi, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Dennis told me to do that. Well, she knows I'm not nice. Okay, so here we go. Public hearing on...
I thought we were switching rooms.
No, we're not. Because I don't see anybody from the Heritage Society, so
they're not here.
I see no reason to switch. Might as well get into the teeth of the meeting. Recreational marijuana zoning. Never heard anything about it. Would like to hear something about it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. What's being handed out to you right now are slightly revised maps that will replace the maps that are contained in your packet. The changes that we have made here are to make the streets a little bit more legible for you, as well as to reflect the Bureau of Indian Affairs decision last week to remove a portion of the city of Ferndale, changing it to trust land from parts that were owned by the Lummi Nation. So that's 8 acres down to the south of Slater Road. So we are here tonight. Last year, last election day, voters of the state of Washington approved Initiative 502, which legalized recreation growth, production, and sales of marijuana. As a result of I-502, the Liquor Control Board, the Washington State Liquor Control Board, has crafted draft rules that have actually gone final just in the last week or two that will regulate those different recreational marijuana businesses. While the Liquor Control Board has 43 pages of rules, single-spaced, they do not necessarily include all of the elements that the City of Ferndale staff believes are necessary in order to make sure that our own infrastructure is protected and that the city has a seat at the table, if you will, to regulate these marijuana businesses. That's what the proposed ordinance that we have before you is intended to do. And a little bit of background on that. The ordinance was drafted as a model ordinance by Carol Morris, who is the primary person in Morris Law, which handles risk management for the Association of Washington Cities. And we've worked with Ms. Morris before. So she drafted this ordinance in response to and in anticipation of I-502 and the rules developed by the Liquor Control Board as an ordinance that would not put jurisdictions that adopt it out in front of a possible litigation. In other words, it takes those rules and Initiative 502 and it translates them down to the city level. It does not make a political statement one way or another as far as marijuana or any sort of moral argument. It takes those rules and it puts them in to the city. Dana Traxler, who is sitting beside me, is our city attorney. She's also reviewed it and she's worked closely with us on modifying it. We've taken it to our planning commission. The planning commission, by a 6-1 vote, recommended approval. So you have your planning commission, your staff, your city attorney, and Carol Morris all recommending approval of this draft ordinance. Want to take you through the ordinance a little bit to tell you what it does and what it doesn't do. Again, remembering that the Liquor Control Board's regulations are going to govern the lion's share of dealings having to do with recreational marijuana. The most visible way that the city would be regulating recreational marijuana is on the two maps that we've passed out to you tonight. Now, what I-502 does is identify a number of entities that need to be absolutely protected through the imposition of a 1,000-foot buffer. So those entities include elementary or secondary schools, playgrounds, recreational center or facilities, child care centers, public parks, public transit center, library, or any game arcade where admission is not restricted to persons age 21 or older. So what these maps do is they first eliminate all of the single-family residential areas. Recreational marijuana businesses are not permitted in these single-family areas. What it next does is we identified all of these 8 different entities within the city of Ferndale and the outskirts of Ferndale as well, and drew a 1,000-foot buffer around it. It's a straight line measurement, 1,000 feet from the property boundaries, and you draw a circle. What's left then in the colored areas are the locations where the city of Ferndale would anticipate, if you adopt these regulations, a recreational marijuana business could be permitted. Now, what the state does is it, again, separates it into 3 different categories. You have the growers, you have the processors, and then you have the retailers. The growers and the processors could co-locate in one area or in one location. The retail has to be separate. You cannot have a one-stop shop for recreational marijuana. That's the state rules. So what we've done is look at our existing zoning and look at the purpose statements of all of our zones. So in the process and manufacture map, we have those zones where you could process or manufacture a product. We would then take that and say, if you can process or manufacture, grow a product, these are the zones in which you could process or manufacture recreational marijuana. If you look at the other map, we do the same thing. Where are the zones in which you could sell a product? And there you have it, minus, of course, that 1,000-foot buffer. Really not a policy decision here. It's more reflecting what could be argued to have existed upon the adoption of I-502 last year. Moving on from there, what we've done in the draft ordinance is identify and reflect a series of requirements that the Liquor Control Board has, adopting the same definition, so we're speaking the same language, adopting some protections for the city in case I-502 was changed, or if at the federal level the federal government changed their existing policy and decided to prosecute for violations of I-502. We've included a number of kill switches into this ordinance that would mean that any licenses that have been issued would be immediately revoked at such time as I-502 was rendered unconstitutional or if the federal government changed their existing policy. We've added a section at the request of council that you'll see at 18.67.200, which is on page 83 of your packet, page 13 of this staff report, which states, should a change in federal government policy result in a determination that the ability to license, production, processing, sale, or other distribution of marijuana through the premises is illegal and will be prosecuted, Any license issued hereunder shall be deemed immediately revoked by operation of law. So again, that is another kill switch that would not leave the city, from our perspective, hanging out to dry. One last thing that I wanted to point out.
Yes. Clarification on that. Does that mean the business would have to close at that time?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Who enforces that?
The city of Ferndale would enforce that element of it as far as the federal government is concerned, but I believe that the Liquor Control Board would also enforce most other elements if all of a sudden the federal government determined that, in fact, they were going to prosecute, then the Liquor Control Board, we would expect, would be quite aggressive in revoking licenses as well.
And that would be for the retail end or both? Because retail, we're only going to have one.
Absolutely, and that's an excellent point.
And the other ones could be unlimited. So I guess I'm kind of keying off what Brent said.
But it says production processing sale? Is that
who would be the ones having to go out and shut them down? The police department, us, or liquor control?
Probably a combination.
It would probably be a combination. We would work cooperatively if there was...
It's not working very well with medicinal. I can tell you that.
Yeah, so let's let Yuri go complete through. Write your questions down. Let's get him to write your questions down, and we'll go back to questions.
Council member did make a good point that I did want to repeat. The State Liquor Control Board has identified a certain number of retail stores that can be permitted in any jurisdiction. In the city of Ferndale, no more than one retail store can be allowed, and I believe the Liquor Control Board is working on a lottery or selection process to determine where that would be or which is a lucky applicant who could propose it. There are an unlimited number of grow and processing operations, all of which need to be licensed, but there is not a limit there. Since the Liquor Control Board did just adopt their draft rules at the latter stages of October, we've only had these rules fully known for a couple of weeks. So, of course, any jurisdiction that adopted rules and regulations beforehand was really preempted. So we only have a couple of weeks' worth of jurisdictions that would have adopted it. We believe that the city of Ferndale is going to be well within the pack of most jurisdictions ultimately adopting this. Certainly there are some outliers that have either adopted moratoriums before the rules went into effect or that may be wishing to make a political statement one way or another by adopting variations of those rules. Another thing that the city is proposing to put in, and we believe one of the very important things is, requiring that there be a city business license. For one reason or another, medicinal marijuana, which has been allowed in some manner at the state level since 1998, the city of Ferndale has never regulated it as a land use. We don't want to do that with recreational marijuana. On day one of applications being available, which is November 18th, we would like to have regulations on the books so the city is at the table from day one, where businesses that are selling it without a license, the city can go and shut them down immediately. We don't have that ability with medicinal marijuana at this point. Point two is as far as the impacts to the city of Ferndale, this is a land use that we don't have a lot of information on as far as how many trips a retail marijuana business might generate. Maybe it's only going to generate a couple trips between 4 and 6 p.m. Perhaps it's going to generate 1,000 trips between 4 and 6 p.m. Regardless, if it's 2 trips or 1,000 trips, those are going to have an impact on the city system, and they need to pay their traffic impact fees or, depending on the size of it, go through a full environmental review process. So in this ordinance, we make sure that it specifically includes a requirement that these retail stores document how many trips they anticipate and allows the city to charge them based on those or to otherwise mitigate based on those trips. That's not something that the Liquor Control Board includes in their regulations. grow and processing operations, one of the things, if you look through the 43 pages, some of the security elements are that they really restrict the number of trips going into and out of those grow and processing operations. So we believe that we can assume a certain number of trips based on the normal review process that we go through for grow and processing. The opposite is true toward our water and sewer use. Grow and processing operations do likely use water to help to feed their product and to keep it alive and to clean it. We need from them an estimate of their water and sewer use, as well as what sort of materials they might be putting back into the system. The Liquor Control Board does an awful lot as far as what goes on with the waste products, restricting things like composting and things like that. But we want to make sure that the impacts to the city system are known. Retail, again, it's the opposite. We believe that in a retail store, folks are using the facilities the same way as they'd be using a normal retail store. We do not anticipate that they're going to have a significantly higher water or sewer output. With all of that said, if the city looks at this as a product that has not formally been available, this is a pretty straightforward ordinance. If we remove ourselves from the political or moral discussion and the fear of this being an unknown, really a straightforward ordinance that all of your reviewing bodies have looked at, and we feel very confident that this is the way to go. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm sure that there are some.
Okay, council questions now. This is a public hearing, so technical questions of staff, not opinion questions of staff. That would come afterwards in terms of how you feel about the subject, how you're going to vote. That would come after the public hearing portion. So technical questions of staff. I'll go Councilperson Ingram, Mutchler, and then Goodrich. And Olson.
Yuri, you mentioned security. Given our latitude on the globe, are most of these going to have to be an indoor growing operation, in your opinion?
Yes, sir.
So that would help enhance the security a little bit. I was assuming it would because of our location, but what other type of security are they going to have to be able to provide or be required to provide by us as far as keeping somebody from cutting through the side of their building?
Well, that's really an excellent point where we've gone through the state's rules pretty carefully and tried to come up with what is being left on the table by the state as far as security or as far as really any other condition that we might wish to apply. Took it through the Planning Commission. We took it through the attorneys. Is there anything else that we're not thinking of that is going to be a consistent element that is not being addressed? And the answer at this point is no, and that's why we feel so good about bringing this forward. Obviously, as this goes through the process and the 100-some-odd jurisdictions that are going to adopt it or not or deal with it, there's going to be court cases, and it's going to be fine-tuned. But at this point, we feel that really the security elements that the state has identified as far as cameras, as far as testing and badging, as far as tracking the amount that they can have on the premises, there's not much left for the city to regulate.
Councilperson Mutchler.
Good evening, Mr. Burnett. You ended your discussion about how this we should treat this as we would treat really any business or type thing. I wanted to ask you, the voters prescribed a 1,000-foot distance. I'm not debating 800 feet or a mile. What do you feel is the principle behind that? What is because that seems to be a unique characteristic of this from the voters. And what are they trying to tell us in having a distance from what? Not the specific thing, but what are they looking to do with it?
Yeah, I agree with the city clerk to protect kids, that the 1,000 feet, the Liquor Control Board does have a lower threshold for alcohol as far as distance. But, when you look at the protected entities, it's really children.
So why are we including the gateway zoning in the retail? And I'm looking at my map here, and I don't have really good eyes, but could a retail shop be put right next to Dairy Queen in the gateway or next to Hagen's in that zoning? Or I can't quite tell, but maybe McDonald's in that area. It appears to me that we are allowing retail to exist in types of areas that I think tend to grab a lot of kids. Is that true?
It is true that it could be permitted next to or in close proximity to those businesses.
Why did staff do this?
Staff did that because the definitions provided by the Liquor Control Board in I-502 are very specific as far as the types of entities that are to be protected and the limitation that these entities are predominantly government or quasi-government facilities.
But we're trying to protect children.
We're going based on what I-502 says to expand it or to expand 1,000 feet beyond something that the voters have approved would not be a direction that staff or I believe a city attorney would recommend.
What would be the downside should council be interested in that direction? Because there would still remain, all these areas would remain for retail, but we would remove areas that would seem to be like a school, like a park, that have kids.
I would like our city attorney to answer that as far as the legal consequences.
As far as, I'm sorry, Dan and Traxler with the city attorney's office for the record. I think you have to think about regulating this business the same as you regulate other businesses. And I would have concerns if you were to regulate it differently. And if you want me to elaborate on that further, I should probably recommend that we go into executive session so that I don't say anything that might impact future litigation. But when you're permitting businesses across the board, you do it similarly. And so if you're going to establish rules that are would essentially prohibit this business in some zones, and which is in contradiction to what the state law allows, then I think you're going to run into issues.
So question, though, is it's the zoning that is in place on November 18th of 2013. So you mentioned Dairy Queen or something. So I mean, that used to be a golf course.
Could be a park.
It's slated to be a soccer park, but it's not now. So because it is not a soccer park now, it's zoning that occurs on November 18th.
Correct.
And if a soccer park happened in 14, that business would be grandfathered?
Correct.
But Ms. Traxler, we're only allowed to have one retail.
Right.
And it just seems to me that if we get one retail, I would be disappointed as a parent that it's right next to Dairy Queen or Hagen's. It seems to me that the spirit intent was to keep it away from enlisting those areas, kid zones of sorts.
Yeah, I think it's different in that a daycare center is geared specifically toward children, whereas Hagen is not.
McDonald's
is not, arguably.
Okay, I have Councilperson Goodrich and then Olson.
Just a quick follow-up, and then I got to my other question. Did I hear right that if Riverside Park thing develops and somebody's already built their store, they're not required to move?
Yes, you are correct.
Because it's zoning and that's an operation that's a legal entity as of November 18th, 2013.
For instance, if a retail establishment were to establish itself, the city could not then say, well, we're going to put a public park right next to it and keep it on the run.
Even though it's kind of on our books as a kind of a future development type of thing and some preliminary plans have been kind of floated out there for soccer fields behind Samuels, that has no bearing then?
Well, we haven't received an application, and so they're not vested. And then number two, no.
Okay. But my main question goes back to the two drawings for the processing and the retail. Some of them have the same zone.
Correct.
Does that mean that we could have a... I know they said that they can't be together in the same building, but could they be side by side? To where you have the processing in suite A and the retail in suite B of the same building. Or on...
My response would be... almost certainly not, and I'm trying to find the thing that states it, where one of the requirements of the Liquor Control Board is that no individual or company can have stock or financial interest in both a retail and a grow/processing operation, and that if we had a suite A, suite B situation, we would have the landowner having some sort of financial participation in that. Whether or not they could be in the same general area, I don't know that there is a prohibition on that.
Well, I was saying, it was just a kind of example. Let's say Wilson's Furniture went out of business and they decided to put the grill manufacturer into Wilson's. Could the hot tub place become the retail sales for that grill processing operation? They're on the same thing, but they're not in the same building.
I believe Ms. Traxler actually would like to correct me.
Yeah, I'd like some clarification, because you said because the landlord rents to A and B, and that's the financial nexus. I want to hear you answer.
What I understand is that processing and production can co-locate in one place, mm-hmm. but retail cannot co-locate with processing and production. They have to be completely separate.
By how much? Separate by how much?
They can't be on the same piece of property. They can't.
Contiguous.
Yeah. So.
So, but there's not a distance listed.
No, there is not a distance, which is a good point.
So, on some of our small parcels here, you could have on parcel A the grill processing, and the next parcel right next door to it.
Correct.
The retail sale.
That is correct.
Very lean. Okay. Interesting.
Are
you okay? All your answers.
And the other thing I was curious is I know nothing about hydroponics gardening. I don't know if anybody does, but no, I was thinking going along the lines of water usage. You were talking about that. How much water do the? I don't know. I know I had a coworker years ago that grew vegetables hydroponically, but I don't know if that's a lot of refreshing the water. Or if they just recycle the water, or or do we have any control over the type of growing or things? You mentioned water usage and sewer.
Well, as far as the water usage and the manner in which they do grow, that's going to be up to the Liquor Control Board, and there's strict standards on that. For the purposes of water and sewer use, do not necessarily regulate what they do with the water once it is within the building, once it passes through our meter. But once it's going back to us, we're going to want to have a system of checks, where it's a double check valve, whether it is, a grease trap, or so on and so forth. And that's something that we'd look at for any sort of, if we have a cupcake facility, as we've discussed, we look at that sort of thing. And so we would request of them when they came in for an estimate of what type of materials they would be putting back into the system and their flow rate.
And that would be local administrative control.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Councilperson Olson?
Yori, you did a great job with a very difficult subject, and we discussed that in committee.
I don't have any objections with your all the work that you put into it. My objections, like I said in committee, were the state. They have 43 pages is nothing. Absolutely nothing for enforcement, for laws and putting it out. And they have, as we've talked about in committee, they're putting all the onus of this on us to deal with. For example, I go into the store and I buy a packet of marijuana from them for $50. But then I find out I can go buy it from so-and-so for $10. I can just put it in the packet. There's going to be no testing. There's no triggers that show where this stuff came from. And they're basing all their projections of income and all this on based on this sale. When the problem is going to be, it's going to be cost. And I'll save that part for later on. But one thing you mentioned was medicinal has the right to, you were talking about medicinal marijuana we can't regulate. They don't have rights to have dispensaries and storefronts, correct?
Correct.
And I was reading, there were some blatherings in the blog about this article. Do we have one of these that we know of over on Portal Avenue?
Officially?
We do not have anything that has been licensed by the city as a dispensary.
No, I wouldn't think we would, no. But do we... Is there anything? Nobody knows?
There's no dispensary there.
Okay, so that's just more internet grumblings. Okay.
I would like to respond to one of your points, which I think is a very fair point as far as the loopholes, I guess, in the purchase. It's not really a land use component to it, where if someone were to put their illegal marijuana in a legal marijuana packet, you know, of some sort, that would occur even if the city were to abolish marijuana within a city, or it would have the same chance of occurring because that marijuana cigarette or product could be purchased in Bellingham or Tacoma or something and brought up here. Not to diminish the concerns, and I think it's much more a police, you know, issue than land use, but I think for this ordinance here tonight, this does not either create or solve that problem.
And I would agree, but the point of that statement wasn't that. The point of the statement is the state has a lot of work to do in answering all these questions that the police have put forward, and all they continue to say, it'll be a local matter. Who's going to pay for all that? It will be us. And I'm not, to me, it's not as simple as just a land use. We're accepting the whole thing.
Are we kind of moving into opinion?
So.
I appreciate that you want to say, I just think we need to hold that until after the public comment.
Yeah, let's look.
Because right now we just do questions. I mean, is there a specific question? Or?
The specific question is the statement saying that I don't think we have enough, the state has not given us enough to act on. We don't know what to ask because we don't have enough stuff.
Okay.
It could be. So before I go to the next one, it should also be noted, I'm glad that you brought that up because it will be listed in another discussion under mayor reports. There is no indication by the state of any funding in terms of profit from that subject, as the last 2 years, our liquor profits have been taken away. But we'll talk about that later. How
we won't get sales tax.
Councilperson Ingram and then Councilperson Mutchler.
I was just going to ask if we have gotten any input from the chief on how this is going to impact our department.
We could have a report on that, chief. That would have to be after the public hearing. Councilperson Mutchler and then Zimmerman.
I'm just going to put a bow on this last line of question about the gateway area. Our city code allows a business, we call it adult cabarets. I think they're generally called strip clubs. Last I looked, we don't have any yet. But we are zoned, it's a permitted use. It is a permitted use, and I forget the exact zoning. It's like two or three.
I think it's a manufacturing zone.
Yeah, but it's, can you have an adult strip club in the gateway zone?
I don't believe so.
Rhetorical. Yeah, and it would seem to me this would be nearly an identical issue. They have the 1,000-foot buffer, and they include churches, but schools and such. And I'm kind of going back to what our attorney said. I'm just wondering why you can't exclude the gateway.
We're going based on what I-502 says.
And it's gateway zoning.
We're taking the 1,000-foot buffer in the zones that allow retail sales and not making a kind of policy or moral attachment.
So our interpretation of I-502 is what you're saying, if I understand, is that we are interpreting the 502 to say anything that allows retail, excluding the 1,000 feet, we need to include that.
We or the state are interpreting. Who's interpreting?
That is our interpretation.
Thank you.
in a number of other jurisdictions, too.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
I was on the committee, the Land Use Committee, and in the conversation that was brought up, a possible resolution, those are cooperatives. Right now, I don't really have a big problem with any of the ordinance because that's what the state is kind of looking for. They have to start somewhere. My experience in the brewing industry, they're what they call a three-tier system. Gary's familiar with this because there was, you know, manufacturers, there was wholesalers, and then there's retailers. And so they're kind of working that model. The issue I have looking at different states and how they address this is that, as I think you said it really succinctly, someone's going to win the golden ticket. We only have one location, and what has come up, and I stole this from a blog site someplace, is forming a community cooperative. And there's a lot of great benefits, and I took the time, and I just got done this morning, so I sent it to the mayor and Sam. I made some copies here, but it's kind of a separate thing, but it's a resolution, just talking about some various issues that are not really germane to this discussion, but I just say that those are the type of things that I think that are important at this point. But a lot of the other stuff, it's going to be cat and dog fight and scratching this for a long, long time. And if we have a kind of a basis of philosophy of how do we get paid? How is best the community is protected from the negatives, and how can we equally share the benefits? I think we'll find these things. So I made some of those, and we can talk about them later, whatever. So thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of staff before we move to the public hearing? Councilperson Goodrich?
In the state regulations and stuff for the growers, manufacturer processors and stuff, how do we know that their stuff that they've produced doesn't end up being sold out of the back of somebody's car at the high school or in an alley or, you know, I mean, could we be growing all kinds of stuff here and never see a retailer open their doors here in town? Legally.
Is that... Could you repeat the last part of that question? I'm sorry.
Well, I was saying, you know, if we have...
Does it stop the black market?
Yeah, basically, what's the driving force of a grower-producer to go to and give it to a retailer that has to pay all the taxes and stuff versus growing it, manufacturing, processing it, and then just selling it the way they sell it today on the streets?
Same as a bootlegger.
The growing and processor, the growers and processors have to track each plant through from it reaches a certain size within their greenhouse up to the point where it is then prepared from the growers and moves to the processors where it's tagged and bagged, basically. Then from the processor, the same thing as it goes to the retailer. So from the point of growing to the point of the retail, that's all in there, and then the retailer has to track all of their inventory. And that's subject to very strict regulations and bookkeeping.
And the honor system.
To Councilmember Olson's point, once it is sold at retail, it becomes more difficult to track as it's actually being used or you know, refined from there. Through the point of retail, it is very tracked. How well will it work? Well, you know, that's something that we'll need to see. But the I-502 that was adopted, the authors of it, I believe, knew full well that that was going to be a major point of emphasis, is what happens. How do you do that? So they did pay particular attention to that tracking mechanism.
Okay, questions for staff, or shall we go to the public hearing?
Okay.
We're going to go to the public hearing. So this is a public hearing. I have four people signed up, and anyone else wants to talk, we'll give them a chance. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give the testimony of the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows.
Audience members who sign up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at the public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll give an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So the first person I have listed is Mark Bellis. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. Hello, my name is Mark Bellis. I'm at 5865 Portal Way. Currently operate a collective garden. Would like to apply for a 502 producer-processor license. By noticing these maps, I realize that our facility isn't included in that maps. And what I would like to suggest or recommend would be something of the vein of I don't know what you want to call it, a marijuana enterprise zone or whatever, but the district from Portal Way, from the cruising coffee all the way up to Grandview and then along Grandview, that's currently a well-used area for a lot of the warehouses. And I think that creating a enterprise zone that stretches from Portal all the way up to Grandview and over would be beneficial. It'd be beneficial in my particular case, but it would also be beneficial, I think, for others that would like to apply for a 502 license. It would be situated in a properly zoned site for Ferndale. That would be my suggestion, would be to add those particular streets to the allowed uses for producers.
Councilperson Olson?
I'm sorry, I didn't... You operate what?
A collective garden under the RCW 69.51A.
In the city?
Yes.
On Portal?
Right.
So I guess we do have one that we're not...
No, you asked about dispensary.
It's not a dispensary, though.
Okay. So you don't do any buying or selling
carrots,
out of that?
Potatoes.
I'm sorry?
You don't do it. You don't have people come there and barter, trade, donate, or any of that kind of stuff?
No. There's no traffic.
What exactly is a collect... What did you call it?
It's a collective garden.
So he's manufacturing
under the
medical field.
And so we have a set of members. It's a membership where the product is donated then to the members that are in the collective. So it's a specific group of people that would be...
And is that... That's not allowed, though.
Under RCW 69.51A, it's allowed, yes.
And how many people are allowed to be in that? Isn't there a specific number?
I don't know if there's a maximum. We've got eight members.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Question for Mr. Burnett.
Oh, sure.
I'm just wondering why that particular area, Portal Way, wasn't included. I'm assuming that there was no industrial or...
The main thing is Griffintown Park, and then halfway up on the west side, we have a daycare center licensed by the state of Washington.
Yeah. Okay.
For information, when you do a Google Earth ruler on that,
mm-hmm.
The previous rule that the Liquor Control Board was going to adopt related to 1,000 feet was going to be walking path.
Okay.
And that's how they do it for alcohol. The federal government did not like that, and so they changed it to as the crow flies.
Okay.
When it was walking path... It probably would have been allowed at that location.
Okay.
But as the crow flies, they're like 300 feet away. So it's just not allowed.
And
okay.
Forgive me, I think I'm pretty correct on this. It's you would measure 1,000 feet from any corner of the property to the facility to a park, to a daycare. So it's any corner of the daycare or park to any corner of the property under the existing law.
It's essentially the most restrictive measurement. And so here we kind of have the opposite of, I think, going beyond the state rules to restrict. We have a request to go less than the state laws to allow. The ordinance kind of goes right in the middle where it doesn't take that moral statement.
Just to be clear, the reason why the maps are slightly different is that processing and manufacturing is in the manufacturing and industrial zones with a 1,000-foot buffer. The retail is in the retail zone with a 1,000-foot buffer.
Correct.
So when you look at the retail side, it's allowed up at Grandview because that's a regional retail zoned area, but it's not allowed for processing and manufacturing for the very same reason.
Correct. And now general business is a hybrid zone where you can have an industrial component and you can have a retail component. It's been a very popular zone.
So going backwards, though, is what the gentleman just spoke. The state regulations tell us 1,000 feet from any corner of the property measured to any of the facilities that had that designation. The state law tells us that. How could we change state law?
We cannot be less restrictive than state law.
Okay.
Those things change. Here they do.
What's that?
Those things change right now. You know why they have it as the crow flies?
Because the federal government told them to.
Required them to.
Yeah.
That's exactly why.
But what is the thinking of why 1,000 square feet?
Because the federal government wanted a commitment from the state government that they would be more aggressive in policing for public safety to protect children.
No. What it is, it makes it easier for the people who are doing the they got lots and lots of application. It makes it easier to take a pinpoint to wherever the person is, take your 1,000-foot screen, and then just do a big compass circle. So it's the ease of the bureaucratic processing of any application that makes it really cool.
Actually, the state wanted the easier measurement, though.
But what I'm saying, it's the technique, the process of measuring it, which is the most effective part. You take just a compass string, just like you're going to do a circle, and then anything that falls into it. Because, again, we are anticipating thousands of people, and then there's background checks, there's all kinds of stuff. So look for ways to streamline the process at this point.
That's the regulation as it sits now.
Yes. That's regulation.
1,000 feet measured from any corner of the property.
Because this is right off the bat, it's all new. Might as well make it more restrictive and then give up over time different things as we found out with.
So just for the record, Mr. Bells is out of luck, basically, because we've set the limits that we need to set.
As it sits today.
Okay, as it sits today. With the state law, the whole marijuana enterprise thing and where he is located, we can't do that because it's within 1,000 feet of something. I just want to make sure that he understands.
Because the state, what they changed it were collective and everybody's all in the same umbrella. That was only a few weeks ago.
The Department of Health, the Liquor Control Board, and one other entity are making recommendations to the state legislature to make a change.
They haven't done that yet.
But it's a different law, and what we're addressing tonight is recreational. So what Mr. Bells is advocating for is that he's not included in the map. He hopes he will be, but what staff is trying to say is that state law precludes that.
We can't help him tonight.
We're right in the midst of a public hearing. Correct. We're going in directions that aren't public hearing.
I want to make sure that the speaker understood.
I understand that part. But we're also talking about other stuff that shouldn't be.
Let's go back to the public hearing.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Manuel Retta, welcome, sir.
Manuel Retta, 2432 Philview Drive. I'm kind of disappointed this law ever became law. Being a veteran, I've seen a lot over there. I seen before I went to Vietnam. Hippie time, weed, whatever you want to call it, marijuana, whatever, you know. I'm really disappointed. But I know for a fact this is going to cause a lot of chaos, a lot of competition. When there is one set up, you're going to have Canada bringing stuff over. If not, Oregon's bringing stuff over. So you're going to have a lot of weed, and it's not going to be controlled as we recognize it. State law is state law. But I believe very strongly that it's going to affect the economy. It's going to affect our police department, our fire department, and our community. Sure, a parent can go by and buy, say, a bag of legal marijuana, okay, take it home, smoke it in front of his kids. That's an example that's going to grow and grow. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm really disappointed with this law, and that's where I stand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, next up is Elizabeth Finke. Welcome.
Good evening. Dr. Elizabeth Finke, Box 66, Ferndale, residing at 5730 Sterling. 3 points. The first is related to the issue of mitigated measures for possible groundwater contamination. It's my understanding that a marijuana plant is one of the easiest things to grow organically. You really do not need to use pesticides. And so for me, the best case scenario for an economic outcome is to have certified organic growers, certified organic processors, and market it as ecotourism under the flag of moving from the black market to the green market. point number two is related to the issue of not locating any operations within this 1,000 feet as the crow flies from certain protected entities. There is a discrepancy in some of the definitions in the materials that I assume are the same thing that I read this afternoon at City Hall, is the same as in your packet. When it comes to mentioning bus depots, two out of the three definitions very specifically limit them to transit centers that are hubs. The third definition also mentions bus stops. It's not a very good idea to have the city's definition at odds with the state definition. And in addition, it started me thinking, if we locate a retail facility so far away from walking distance or bus distance that you have to drive a car to get there, human nature being what it is, leads me to my third point. I would suggest, and this has to do with the enforcement and paying for enforcement issue, as an interim beginning and cheap measure, the city of Ferndale could erect signs at the city limits stating, for example, Ferndale vigorously enforces all laws against impaired driving. And this could be followed up with the school outreach programs that already exist, driver education and so on, so that our aim would be to make both driving drunk and driving stoned socially unacceptable for everyone. Anybody have any questions?
Questions? Councilperson Mitchler?
Just a question of staff on the bus stops.
Yes. I keep seeing the phrase public transit center.
Yes. Okay. In 18.67.020, definition S as in Seattle Seahawks, that is, and that is where bus stops are mentioned. Then in the other material, item 18 in the new section WAC 31455010, it's just clear that it's a hub, and that same point is made later on page 9, section 10, subsection F as in Ferndale. And it's maybe a kind of a point only an editor would notice, but since I do editorial work and I noticed the discrepancy, I thought I would mention it.
Thank you.
There are only, I think, two bus stops that could even be affected, if I'm reading the map correctly. Neither one of them is frequented by children very often. Any other questions?
Any other questions for this witness? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what is the description around is bus stops or just the bus hubs?
It's transit
center. It's a transit center where it then goes out to those different things. And I will check. I have it as letter T and R, so it might be that we're looking at different versions, but we'll make sure that that is consistent.
Okay. Thank you.
Next up, Mr. Fred Kennedy. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Fred Kennedy, 2636 Low Karen Drive. First off, I want to thank Mr. Guetta for your service to our country and your speech. Thank you. And any other veterans that are here. also wanted to thank staff for doing such a great amount of work on here. Yori, in particular, you've done a yeoman's work on this, so thank you. I'm not here to make a political speech, to say yes or no. What I am here to do is ask for more time. Because what I'm seeing is that we still have a lot of questions as a community and as council. Councilor Mutchler, Council Member Mutchler, you've talked about why is it different and why do we have a 1,000-foot zone around these facilities. Council Member Goodrich, you've talked about can facilities be co-located. Council Member Ingram, you've talked about security. And Councilmember Olson, you've talked about enforcement. So it's obvious we do still have some questions on some very new legislation. So with that in mind, I had done a little bit of homework and took a look at a website that is prepared by Canna Law and put together a chart which should be in your packet this evening.
It's sent via email. We put the packet together last week.
Very good.
It was emailed, though.
Okay. Anyway.
We did get the email.
And Sam had responded kindly and gave me another website for the Municipal Research Service Center. So I made a couple of comparisons. On the lawyers' website, who are the folks that are supporting the marijuana legislation, they had 45 respondents to I-502. And out of those 45 respondents, there was a 62% that showed they want a moratorium, excuse me, so they can have more time. On the website that Sam had sent over, on the Municipal Research Service Center website, 38% of the people of the municipalities responded, said they want a moratorium or more time. So on those moratoriums, to get more time, there are four main categories that they wanted to review. We were looking at land use, enforcement, zoning regulations, and potential for legal conflict between federal and state. So we do have new legislation in place, and it does seem to make good sense, just given the amount of questions we have here tonight, that we take the time, and if we look at doing a moratorium possibly, 60 days, 6 months, or 12 months, as some of the other municipalities had put in, we could give ourselves the time to gather real data from other municipalities who are going forward and help answer some of the questions without the added expense. Is that 3 minutes? Thank you.
Good job. Thank you. Any questions for this guest? Councilperson Mutzler?
Yeah. It's a question for Mr. Burnett.
Can you talk into the...
It's a question for Mr. Burnett on the theme, the timeliness of this. Is this... I understand it's nice to pass things and to move on. In your mind, is there a downside, as he's suggesting, to waiting?
Absolutely. To adopt a moratorium, you need to demonstrate that there's an emergency. There is no emergency in this case. All the questions that have been asked today have been answered to the best that we can answer them. In 6 months, there is no expectation that the state is going to revise their rules this quickly. In fact, we don't believe that they will this quickly. Also, we have to remember that the state's rules only went into effect or only were finally adopted within the last couple of weeks. So any jurisdictions that had adopted ordinances before those went final would really probably should have adopted interim zoning controls or moratoriums until they knew what the rules were going to be. We happen to have our council meeting first Monday of every month, so that puts us in the position of being able to have our meeting tonight. I would expect that within the next couple of weeks, we will be seeing a lot of jurisdictions going in the same direction as we are. We don't believe that there are still answers that need to be addressed or that can be within the next 6 months.
Is that a legal definition for a moratorium, that there must be some kind of emergency?
Do you want to answer from staff on that?
It would have to be a...
For a moratorium to take effect immediately, you have to declare an emergency. Otherwise, you have to actually have a public hearing on the establishment of a moratorium.
Because the city had a moratorium on big box stores at one
right,
time.
Exactly.
Is that an emergency?
No, I don't think we did it as an emergency.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Oh, yeah.
Or we might have, okay.
Sure. The emergency was someone would step up and place a application before we were able to vet out all of the possibilities. Yep. And so in order to prevent that from happening, we put a six-month moratorium on.
Yeah, if they're for 6 months, they can be renewed. They can be renewed for up to a year if you have a detailed work plan.
Do you want a response from legal counsel? Is that what you're asking?
I prefer legal counsel to discuss it.
I was getting that impression.
Yes.
Everything that Mr. Young said is correct. If you wanted to enact a moratorium down the road, you would have more time, obviously. But if you want to enact something immediately, it would have to be an emergency, and you would have to show why it is an emergency. And now, since you have the state rules in place and you have this ordinance that's been prepared in accordance with the state rules, it would be difficult to show an emergency in this situation.
So someone could bring legal action against us based on that.
Definitely.
Okay. Councilperson Watson, and then Olson.
Just for the record, Mr. Kennedy is also a member of the Planning Commission, and he did make this argument to the Planning Commission, yet the majority of the Planning Commission sent this forward to us. I mean, they had this discussion in Planning Commission, should we wait, what should we do? And a lot of people in Planning Commission were trying to make that decision, and in the end, they voted 6-1 to send this to us, and they felt that we should move forward and comply with state law. So I just think, for the record, I think that's important to note.
Thank you. Okay, Councilperson Olson. Public hearing.
I'm not here to match wits with you, but aren't there some cities that have moratoriums?
Yes.
So how did they do it and we can't? They have different lawyers?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
No.
Part of it is that a lot of those there are some moratoriums that were adopted in September. The rules were not yet. Quite a few of them adopted them back in May or so for a six-month moratorium, waiting until the rules were out sometime in October before applications were ready in November. So we think that there are quite a few jurisdictions that have the six-month moratoria that are now expiring and probably will be bringing their ordinances forward. So that's part of the issue.
Okay, so nobody... They pretty much said when they expected to have the answers, correct?
They actually pushed it back several times. And they pushed back the application process several times. Initially, we were actually expecting applications in August. It was pushed back to November.
Well, what I was getting at was, I'm curious if there's anybody that enacted a moratorium now or within the last few weeks.
A few did in September.
Well, that's...
Before the laws came.
But it was, I mean, that's a six-month moratorium, so...
September, I can understand. I'm talking the latter part of October or what have you.
I have not heard of
it. I could see how you could do it, like she said, prior to, and that would be justified.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of that. Since the rules came out, I haven't heard of anyone other than just adopting...
Yeah, I haven't read anything either.
An ordinance.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, if you step back for a moment, you know, what we're... We can only regulate what we can regulate. Use the example of alcohol, you know, we don't go out and see if there's any illegal alcohol being sold. We're not going to be going out to see if there's any illegal pot being sold. It's going to be a state function. So the idea of diversion to the black market or the gray market is not anything that we would ever have an ordinance to address. Same thing with security. I mean, I can only imagine that banks and jewelry stores are also very high on the list of places to be broken into, but we don't require certain levels of security. It's incumbent upon the business people that choose to go.
But we have to respond to them.
Okay, meaning let's get back to the public hearing. So
let's finish the public
hearing. Those discussions till later.
Hold that, good.
Okay, anyone else in the audience would like to speak forward? I have one public hearing document to read you that was submitted. Anyone else?
No.
You can come in after them through everyone else. Anyone else there? Welcome, sir.
My name is Dave Schweigert, and I live at 2606 Hope Lane, which is off of Pacific Heights Drive. Is there going to be any requirement that we have to have said numbers of these different things in town? Can you make a decision as to the number that you have to accept, if you accept any?
So I believe the answer, you can help me answer, but the answer is one retail, unlimited processing.
In town?
Correct.
Period.
That was set by the state. The state gave us our numbers. Sure.
Okay. Down at the end of Portaway, the dead end, there's a place down there called... Fern something or other, and I don't know whether it's ever been checked or whatever, but I'm quite sure they're a grower down there, which is illegal. So if it's illegal and they have city laws for growing it, seems to me the police department would certainly have to step in and check these things out. What's going to happen here is whatever money is made off of licensing and taxes and other things will not even come close to offsetting the cost of the police department, the pursuit of being sold. I hear kids selling and talking about this right now. Oh, man, we're going to be able to grow this pot and do all this, not even understanding what the laws are. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll take the chance to read this one in. This is sent from a Mr. Glenn Stewart. I'm a resident of Ferndale. While I don't have direct interest in retail outlet for pot, I'm interested in how it's operated where it sits. I'm afraid there will be an impulse to insist that the shop be located away from the main activity and commerce centers of town in an attempt to more or less to hide it or make access more difficult or whatever. I thought about this and I've read quite a bit about locating similar outlets, namely bars and retail liquor sales. Houston, for example, saw their DWI's
drop almost in half when they began allowing neighborhood liquor stores that were often within walking distance to consumers, but still not next to a home or a school. My research tells me that locating the shop in a central area while still meeting the state law, that is 1,000 feet from sensitive facilities like schools, is the best way to go for several reasons. The first is that areas that now sell regulated products like alcohol are clustered together in well-traveled, well-lighted, and easily patrolled areas. Also, stores who sell alcohol have surveillance systems and generally good security mandated by their corporate owners. They help law enforcement keep the peace in known areas. A co-op seems to be the best way to go for several reasons, the best reasons being diffuse, diverse ownership. One person hoping to get rich on a pot shop poses obvious problems for us. We can all remember Joe Camel and the Ronald McDonald. We can all agree that that kind of marketing for purely financial gain was not good for our youth. Additionally, a co-op may well want to offer value-added services such as healthcare professionals on site to consult with both medical and recreational consumers. Diverse ownership means people with input on policy who have broad interests and may be homeowners here and have children here. A single owner with only a profit motive is not likely to make the well-being of the community a priority. That's what I think, and thank you for listening. We enter that into the record. So anyone else in the audience would like to come forward and speak tonight? Okay, Mr. Kennedy, you get 2 minutes.
Much appreciated. Thank you. Question earlier, have any moratoriums been passed recently? I've got a copy of one here from Kennewick, City Attorney's Office. Ordinance number 5525 filed and recorded in the office on 15th day of October. Okay, and they're basically saying we want more time. City of Sunnyside, okay, this was passed in August. In Columbia County, this was passed mid-September. Okay, so point being, there are a number of counties and municipalities that have requested more time to review the discussion that we've had tonight on enforcement, on zoning, on safety, security, and how we would deal with this. So, in addition, Liquor Control Board draft recommendations, this was issued October 21st, significantly alter medical marijuana in Washington. So this has come from the Liquor Control Board. So they're changing the rules and making significant changes. So with that in mind, with a number of uncertainties and the changes that are in process, my request to council would be somehow to come up with a methodology or a process to give yourselves adequate time to wait and see what other municipalities experience in these questioned areas, and then we make informed decisions and go forward. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Yuri, any summary? Looks like we don't have anybody else from the audience, so.
Close the public hearing?
Oh, excuse me. Close the public hearing at 7:17:42. Thank you very much.
I think from staff's perspective, the rules did go into place late last month. So obviously, you know, jurisdictions adopting beforehand didn't yet have the final rules in place. The other thing on medicinal marijuana, while we're not talking about medicinal marijuana, that is a good comparison, where since medicinal marijuana became legalized in certain ways in 1998, barely a year has passed without the state then further changing that over time. That is to say that if we are awaiting the state to come up with final rules that are unchanging, and if they follow the same path as they did for medicinal, we'll be waiting until the year 2028 until those final rules are adopted. And they're still not done modifying it. At this time, we do have the rules in place from the Liquor Control Board. They are not anticipating changing them, although we know that over time there will be an evolution that our ordinance, if adopted, will also be able to mirror. We think that this is the most straightforward way of going. Whether or not we agree with I-502 or not, or if we have questions about the way it was written, that's really a separate argument. We believe that the facts of I-502 and the way that cities would comply with it are well put in our draft ordinance, and that's why we are recommending approval.
Council. statements, questions? Councilperson Metzler? Councilperson Watson is next.
Yeah, I just received...
Microphone. Can you talk up, sir?
I just received today from one of the attorneys for the Senate Majority Coalition down there information that the Liquor Control Board is asking the Attorney General whether or not C's can opt out. And that's never been a discussion in Planning Commission. We've just always assumed we have to do this. We have to allow this. I think this raises the question as perhaps another option whether or not we have to do this. Again, the Attorney General is being asked to consider whether community, because there are communities who have voted to opt out. At least three, it says here, when Nancy was the latest. I don't know if this council would want to do that or not. I don't know. But I think that is an option, if that is an option for us, that we should know that or not, and have time to wait to see what the Attorney General says on that.
Are you going to talk to that?
The clerk would like to respond.
Thanks.
Well, I just want to clarify a little bit. I believe what's happening is that we've seen, there's been a patchwork of some cities that have adopted rules based on I-502. There have been other jurisdictions that have maybe gone outside the bounds of I-502, and then in terms of adopting an ordinance. And then there are other jurisdictions who have flat out said, we're not going to allow this at all. And there is concern from the Liquor Control Board that might not be okay. So what they're asking is for the Attorney General to determine whether or not it's okay for those jurisdictions who have decided to basically opt out to do so. I don't think that the Liquor Control Board is doing that to find out if it's okay for us to do it. I think that what they're looking for is backing for their position that we don't get to have a say over what state law
so
says.
So can we wait for
that's
that?
How I read it, though.
There's some steps involved in that. The Attorney General actually has to agree to do that based on who's making the request. Not everyone can just make a request to the Attorney General's office for an opinion. It has to be from a certain person. And I don't know who's doing it. I think the director of an agency might be able to make that request, but I'm not sure. So the other aspect is we don't know when they're going to make that determination. We have no idea how long it will take them to make that. If they choose to do an opinion, we don't know how long it would take them to issue it, I guess is the biggest concern.
It's not a concern with me.
Of course.
I'm saying I just feel like this is being rammed down our throat because we've prepared it for so nicely with staff and with our city attorney. And again, I disagree with Director Brennan. I do think there are a lot of questions. One of the council members indicated interest in hearing from law enforcement. What kind of impacts? And I thought perhaps we may or may not hear from the chief. Maybe that doesn't matter to us, what kind of impacts it has. So I think let's wait on this thing. I don't see a downside. I don't see us getting sued tomorrow because we wait a couple months. It's no.
Okay, next up is Councilperson Watson.
I will be supporting what staff has created. I guess the biggest problem I'm having with those of you who don't want to do it is you just basically are opposed to marijuana for a variety of reasons, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But you can't pick and choose which laws you want to enforce based on your own personal view. I mean, this is the state law right now. And in this position, we have taken an oath that we're going to support the state law. And the state law is going to change, and our ordinance will change with time as we figure this thing out. But right now, we have a state law. We have an ordinance that works with that state law. And I understand some of you don't want to do it, but the opting out, you can only opt out for so long. And we can avoid it for 6 months if that makes you feel better, but you're not going to be able to avoid this. This is the law. This is what people wanted. And I just wanted to say, for me, this is like with gay marriage. Okay? The feds did not support gay marriage. When Wendy and I got married, the feds did not recognize our marriage. It was still against federal law. DOMA said that Wendy and I could not be married. It was almost 9 months before the Federals said that, you know, they would accept our marriage. But we didn't say we're going to have a moratorium here in Ferndale because we're not ready for gay marriage. We just don't feel comfortable with that particular law. I mean, what if the legislature decides that we're going to raise sales tax on gasoline by 10 cents a gallon? Ferndale doesn't like sales tax on gasoline. We just decide that that's not going to happen here in Ferndale. We're going to have a moratorium on gas tax because we just don't like it. I just don't like that direction. You know, if you don't like the law, then you work with your legislature and you figure out how to change this law. If you like to do some civil disobedience because you really hate the law, then you know you can do so on your own time with your own money. Okay? there are ways to change the law. If you really, really are unhappy with this law, it can be changed. Every law can be changed. But right now, it is the law. Whether or not the feds accept it or not has nothing to do with it. You know, we have the law. We are ready to move forward, and I would like to see us move forward. Thank you.
Okay. I have Councilperson Olson, Goodrich, and Zimmerman.
I think it's kind of ironic you're saying we're choosing which laws to ignore when that's exactly what Obama's doing. He's ignoring what the law is and issued a policy.
I'm not the least bit interested in the federal government right this minute.
Pardon me?
I don't care what the federal government's doing right now. This is about the state and the city of Ferndale.
Well, our oath was to uphold the Constitution of the United States, state, et cetera, et cetera. It's all part of it. You don't get to pull out the part you don't like, which is kind of what you're saying to us, but you're doing the same thing by saying, it's okay, the state says it, never mind what the feds say. Well, federal law, as you well know, trumps everything down below it. So right now, he's just choosing to ignore it, which can change, I believe it's January 21st, 2017. So that's kind of what we're saying here is...
But there's kill switches in here. Inside that says, should the feds change their mind?
No,
yes,
but there's
it's done.
The other questions, and this is the part that I guess we're supposed to be talking about it. I look at this as another unfunded mandate from the state, and I hate those, and I think they suck because we get stuck with all this. We're going to have to be, the cops are going to have to be the ones who go when these places get ripped because they don't have any security, and it doesn't. There's not a day that goes by or a week that goes by that we don't see some house getting ripped off. That's a little grow up. You can only imagine what a warehouse of this stuff, what kind of temptation that would be, and who's going to have to respond? Our police department. Who's going to have to determine whether you bought it from Jose or whether you bought it from the state thing? You don't know where it's coming from, and when you ask a question, how are we going to solve that? They tell you, that's on you. What, you're the one shoving this stuff down our throats. You tell us how we're going to solve it, and you tell us what money we're going to get. I know you're saving it for the mayor's report, but do we get anything other than, what, sales tax?
Zero.
Well, we get sales tax. No?
Sales tax.
Sales tax.
Which is a minuscule amount. Okay. I'm not going to support it. I've spent 35 years of my life against this stuff until it's legal. Once it's legal, I could care less. I actually voted for this law. Because I was under the misconception that it was going to control medical marijuana and this, because that's the information that I had gotten, which was wrong. So it's not that I'm completely against it. I voted for it. It's not what it turned out to be, and I don't like it. And until the state can come up with these answers, I think Yori and everybody here has done a great job at trying to operate within the parameters that we're given. But I think the parameters suck because the state hasn't done its job. And that's why I won't be supporting it. And I respect your opinion. I'm just telling you.
No, I completely understand.
I'm going to allow council to talk before staff goes, so I'm going to let council go their direction. Councilperson Goodrich and then Zimmerman.
I was just trying to find something here really quick.
There's only 500 pages.
Yeah, I know.
Shall I go to Councilperson Zimmerman?
No.
I'll let you have it afterwards.
No, I was just looking for... I'm not 100% happy with this idea, either. Again, with the idea of the federal law and stuff. But I'm going to support it because we need to do, I think, Yori, the Planning Commission and stuff have done an excellent job trying to protect us as best they can. Would I like to see it more restrictive? Sure. Would I like to see none in our community? Sure. But given the parameters that we have to hold up the state and do this, I think we guys have done a remarkable job, and I really, really thank you for that. Based off of that, what I was trying to find was the make a motion to accept this new ordinance, but I can't find it through all these pages here.
There really are like 500 pages.
13-11-002.
That one.
That. Motion to accept Agenda Bill 13...
11-002.
Second for further discussion.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Councilor Zimmern is next, and then Councilor Simmutzler.
Well, this is having to do with his motion, though.
Is it germane, Lupin?
If it's germane to the conversation.
Possibly. Well, tomorrow is election day, so it's been 1 year since this law, since the voters made their will known to the people. Is there, maybe this is a legal question, is there a drop-dead date that this needs to be put in place in somewhere in the legislature?
Well, the state is going to start accepting applications on November the 18th. And after, as they start accepting applications and reviewing them, regardless of whether or not the city adopts something, they could then start issuing licenses for within the city of Ferndale.
Have there been applications or any information available to people up to this point?
I believe that they have posted applications online, but they are not yet accepting them. One of the things, too, is for the potential licensees, they need to demonstrate that they actually have a site.
Right.
And so they want to hit it on November 18th with the site. So that's one of the reasons.
Well, and that's one of the things that kind of came up. I was out on Portal Way, and I saw a couple people, and, you know, me and Mr. Happy, friendly, talking. Hey, how you doing? I see your auto state place. Yeah, yeah. Well, they let it known to me that they were in town looking at options at, you know, buying these different places. Option just because they anticipate this, and they're from out of state. I said, well, of course, I'm just trying to be Mr. Hi, welcome to Ferndale type of stuff, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal. There's a lot of financial powers that are coming to be, because they related to almost like a gold rush opportunity, like the Oklahoma land sooner rush, because the laws change and they got figured out, and here we are. So, interesting.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Thank you. I'd like to ask council to modify the ordinance, I think, in a reasonable way that would respect the spirit of its distances to children. And I'd like to make a motion that certain zonings be removed from the retail part of it. And I'd like to remind council that there's only going to be one retail place, and I don't want to sit next to the Dairy Queen. I'd like to make a motion that we remove three zones from the retail. If you have this map, it would be the dark blue, which is regional retail, the gateway entrance, and also the city center, that we would pass the ordinance but remove those three zonings. I think that would pass mustard in my view, and I think it would protect those areas that are most apt to have kids.
You need a second?
I'll second.
Okay, staff response?
A couple things, city center, while it's listed, is automatically removed because of the 1,000 feet.
I know, but I just, as principle.
My other one would be a question, and that would be why?
I answer that? Because these are the parts of the city, besides our parks and our schools, that have the types of businesses where children will be, the grocery stores, the fast food places, and it leaves a tremendous amount of real estate for that one retail to show up. I don't want it next to the Dairy Queen.
Councilperson Watson?
I guess I had a question for our legal representative. I got the impression that we can't say that this particular business can't be in this particular area if we let another business be in that area. I know, I realize it. I mean, can we legally try,
but my concern about something like this is that what are you actually regulating here? If you're going to say, okay, I don't want it next to the Dairy Queen, it can't just be the Dairy Queen. It's got to be McDonald's,
no,
and it's got to be Taco Time, and it's got to be
those types of places.
Grocery stores, et cetera. When you make these arguments, and I understand your struggle with this, I honestly do, but kids are everywhere. And so if you're going to expand the prohibition on where these businesses can be located, arguably you could prohibit it anywhere. And as you go down this path, it will eventually be prohibited in all of the city. And so what you're doing is you're zoning this out of existence here, which serves as a prohibition. And that's when you're going to run into problems when the licenses start getting issued by the state.
But we prohibit adult businesses.
Correct.
In certain zonings. And we have pages of zonings of certain things are allowed, certain things aren't allowed. This leaves plenty of Ferndale for that retail.
I understand. But the ordinance as it's written is aligned with the state law. And so if we go beyond that, then...
It's a recommended ordinance from the state.
I I agree.
Okay. Councilperson Ingram?
Well, when these ordinances are written to specifically addressing the protection of children in schools, parks, etc., 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 these are places where children tend to gather a lot of the time without any parental oversight. Dairy Queen, McDonald's, et al., I have yet to see a six-year-old kid run in there without a parent on his arm. So, I'm sorry, I can't be concerned with that. If we're going to start pinpointing locations to protect children, as our attorney just said, we're going to rezone the entire city. I think the concern is to protect the children where they gather the most without parental guidance. And with that, I am totally comfortable with the zoning the way it's at.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment before us, Councilperson Hansen?
I would point out that, the argument that's being used to, you know, I don't want it near Hagen or Dairy Queen, could be used to say that we should not have allowed the liquor stores, the state liquor stores, to be broken up and allow liquor to be sold on the shelf at Hagen's. Those kids have to walk by that. Are you making a moral judgment that marijuana is worse than liquor? It just, you can regulate this thing to death. I can't support that. It's very clear in the law. It's 1,000 feet. The staff has gone through, and that's why you see circles on this stuff. I don't think Hagen is going to try and sell cannabis anymore. So, or Jerry Point.
Okay, further discussion on the amendment. Any response from staff?
No, sir.
Okay. Roll call vote on the amendment. Everybody's aware of the amendment. You know what the amendment is. Roll call vote on the amendment.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Ingram?
No.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
No.
Councilmember Goodrich?
No. Okay, so back to the original motion before you by Councilperson Goodrich. Any further question? You understand what that motion is? We're accepting staff's report as written. Okay, roll call vote again.
Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Ingram?
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler?
No.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Aye.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, staff, I know you've worked hard on this. Time to sit down and relax.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, staff.
Okay, before you have the agreement with the Ferndale Heritage Society and the Pioneer Park Concession and Tour Guides, go to the city clerk.
Council, thank you. At committee, we brought forward two agreements related to renewals with the Ferndale Heritage Society related to, one, a lease agreement for the Tillicum House and the church at Pioneer Park, and then, two, a concessions agreement and tour guides agreement. They were 10-year agreements. We are renewing them for 5 years. You just approved through consent the lease agreement for Tillicum and church. There were no concerns with that. Councilmember Olson had brought forward a concern related to the tour guides and concessions agreement. The proposal from staff and the Heritage Society stated that if the Heritage Society was going to have volunteer tour guides, they would be responsible for them. It would be their sole responsibility, and they would manage them and conduct background checks at their discretion. And there was concern with the language about at their discretion. He felt that it should be mandatory if these tour guides are going to be in our park, especially around children, that background checks be conducted. We brought that concern to, at his request, to the Finance and Administration Committee. The committee agreed and unanimously modified the agreement to include that language. I brought it to the Heritage Society. They are fine with the language. It's been included by them. They tweaked it a little bit. When I first suggested it, I think I said just their volunteers would have to be background checked, but this was a section on tour guides, so they just asked us to put in the word tour guides. Didn't see a problem with that. So staff is recommending approval of this agreement. We believe they're both very good. They both protect the city, and they recognize the longstanding relationship between the city and the Heritage Society.
Councilperson Ingram was first up.
Yeah, but Sam, the thing that concerned me wasn't just the tour guys. We do 3 weeks of educational programs down there every spring. And those are not tour guys. We got 40 or 50 volunteers that come down there to give educational thing, you know, instructions, if you will, historical plays, teaching the children from the second to the fourth grade what it was like in pioneer days. How did the kids live? What would you be doing? These people are working that close to those children, and they're not registered tour guides. They're not licensed by the city. They're not paid by the city. These are strictly volunteers, and to not have them have even a cursory background check, to me, is putting somebody's child in jeopardy. I want that parent from that school to know that when I'm standing out there being Grandpa Jenny in the rain and taking six or seven kids out to the barn at a time, I want that parent to know that I've been checked. And so I think limiting it to tour guides is just, that's not the intent of the committee.
That's absolutely a fair point, and if council wants to, they could make that change. I don't know if the Heritage Society would agree to it, but this is the purview of the council. The one thing I would say is that the educational programming put on by the Heritage Society is kind of akin to a special event, and we don't require any other special event permittee to be backgrounded if they have children at their events.
Yeah, but this is the only, if you want to call it a special event, this is the only special event where you have individual adults taking groups of small children and setting them apart in little subgroups by themselves.
Yeah.
This is not like Pioneer Picnic. That's a special event, and there's a lot of kids there.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have an adult taking six or eight of those kids at a time and walking them around the backside of the building or over to the barn or into the greenery or in these other places where they're so in such close proximity to the kids, and they're all good people. I trust every one of them. But still, there's got to be a parent somewhere that's worried about it. And I think that if we say, you got to have at least a cursory background check of these volunteers if you're going to put them in that close proximity to young children. I just think it's beneficial to the Heritage Society to say, look, we're up front about this. You know, we're here to protect your children. And this is why we do background checks on our volunteers for Education Week.
Before we go to the question, can you review so the audience knows, the council and the audience knows how a background check happens and the cost?
Yeah, so the way we do background checks and what I've encouraged them to do for the tour guides is it's through the WATCH system. It's through the Washington State Patrol. It's a 10-year criminal history background check. It costs $10.
Yeah. It's not like it's a big expense. And the people can do it themselves online or the Heritage Society?
Yeah, actually anybody could do it. Yeah, yeah. As long as you have someone's date of birth and their name, you could do it back to it.
So you're not fingerprinting them? Or
No. Okay. No, you're just putting their DOB in their name.
Okay, back in order, I have Councilperson Hanson, Olson, and then Watson. I think over there,
Councilmember Olson was next.
I think Mr. Olson was next.
I
had my hand up. I don't know.
Yeah, Councilmember Hanson, Olson, Watson, Wetzler.
I got to believe with Paul on this. If we had a pedophile kind of individual that wanted to find out or wanted to do harm to a child, that's the type of activity he would draw himself to or herself to.
Absolutely.
And they might be the nicest person in the world, and we might all think they're great, but in the back of their mind, there's something that's not clicking. And you need to make sure, you know, how many custodians for schools have been hired because somebody said, well, you know, they really don't have much contact with kids. And it turns out that they, in another state, were pedophiles. So I don't think you can put the welfare of a child, any child, at risk when you can have such a simple solution.
So the council would like a modification that would say that all Ferndale Heritage Society volunteers that operate in the park shall be backgrounded.
And even if you want to specify it to that 3-week period.
That's up to the council. It's all up to the council. Serving at your pleasure.
It would be an amendment. Councilperson Olson?
No, excuse me. Not technically an amendment. Oh. They could just move to approve it with that modification.
Oh, okay. Okay. Councilperson Olson is next.
So we're going to move it back to what I originally proposed, basically, which was no exception.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's up to the council. Someone makes a motion.
Well, yes.
Someone should make a motion.
Okay.
I just want a motion. I think this is pretty obvious what's going
to
happen.
I think they're ready to make a motion.
I think they're ready.
Just give us a minute. Don't rush us.
Yeah, I would be happy to do that because the schools now, because I do this fingerprinting, if you're a parent and you want to take your kid if you want to go on a field trip, you're getting fingerprinted and checked. Mm-hmm. And to the tune of $45.
That's
so, yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
And that's just...
Shut up.
And that's just for that. So, I mean, this is only $10. It's a fourth of that. So, with that being, I'd like to put that forth with the original wording that it's all volunteers.
As a motion.
As a motion.
Are we talking about Section 5 where it says...
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Further discussion. Councilperson Watson.
No, I was trying to clarify which section that's in, because under Section 4, it talks about paid tour guides. The city's response.
Section 5.
So Section 5.
Yes, it's the section that speaks directly to the Heritage Society's volunteers.
So conduct background checks on and supervise these volunteers, period. No yes. Tour guide words.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Whoa.
Yeah.
No? These volunteers?
Well, are you going to require everybody that volunteers a old-fashioned Christmas then, too?
I think the argument...
I don't think so.
Well, no.
But
oh my God.
I think you got to identify.
You do
more carefully. Otherwise, if you just say all volunteers every time somebody decides to hammer a nail down at Pioneer Park, you're going to have to.
So let's solve this. Councilperson Olson, was your intent to have all events there or just the education series?
It's the one wherever they're going to be supervising and guiding children.
So the education.
If you're hitting hammers and nails, I don't really care about that.
I mean, even old-fashioned Christmas, there's a million kids in the park at old-fashioned Christmas. There's 50 or 60 volunteers in the cabins, but the parents are with them at all times.
Okay. So Councilperson Olson's intention that he clearly stated it was.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to his clarifying his amendment?
No.
Okay, great. Councilperson Mutchler is next, then Goodrich.
Absolutely a good idea. We as a church have to do background checks on people. And one time we did, and we probably saved ourselves a heck of a lot of grief. So, very good idea.
Councilperson Goodrich?
I think it's a good idea, too. I'm just kind of in a... feel bad that we don't have anybody from the Heritage Society here tonight, and I'd almost like to...
You are.
Yes, but I'm not a board member thing.
You didn't negotiate this.
No.
I'd hate to see us pass this and then have it go back to them without their comment or input on the changing of this to include the educational program thing. Seeing Sam has already brought it forth to make, and they've approved the change of tour guides. I'd like to make sure that they would have that option before we make the final decision. So I personally would like to see this postponed to our next council meeting.
You should make a motion to do that if you'd like to do that. But I did want to add that it would appear that if the Heritage Society has a concern about that, I don't know that the council would agree with that sentiment at this point.
I just, I'll
give them that news and they can.
I don't want to, I look at it as they probably would agree to it, but as a courtesy, as a kind of working together to say, hey, this is the leaning of the council, this is what they're thinking about doing.
You don't want to blindside them.
I hate to piss them off, so I'd like to make a motion that we
move to refer to committee.
Refer to back to committee or just refer to next council meeting?
I would move to refer to committee so I can update them.
Then we can all see the text.
Okay, I'm making a motion that we refer this back to the committee and that all parties are okay with it.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, it moves back. Okay, so mayor reports. Get out your day timers because this is important.
important one. 2 weeks ago, I attended a regional mayor's meeting. We had great participation. Whatcom Skagit in Snohomish County, put on by Association of Washington Cities. Always before the Association of Washington Cities has put on a new political leaders forum. There are so many new laws and regulations that the AWC would like to go over. They would like all of you to attend. And basically, I'm going to put these dates out because tomorrow night we'll have some different people here, so you need to write down this date. So it's Saturday, December 7th.
January.
It's December 7th, so it's December 7th, so we'll have to figure out a way to...
Old-fashioned Christmas?
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
It's old-fashioned Christmas weekend, sorry.
It ain't going to work.
Where's that?
Well, they're not going to reschedule it for old-fashioned Christmas. This is for the whole state. You'll have, it'll be a video conference with every elected official in the state. It'll be December 7th in Arlington. The cost of the city is $25. It's from 8:30 to 3:30. So they'll have a space in Arlington. And then by video conference, there'll be every elected official, hopefully that's there throughout the whole state. You'll have an exchange of ideas through video conference there.
Can we video conference from here, or do we need to go to Arlington?
No, we will be at Arlington, okay. And then they'll be on a screen and video conference.
Arlington.
Is that the only date they're doing it?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I don't think calling up the AWC for the whole state, they're going to say.
Hey,
in Ferndale, there's old-fashioned Christmas.
Well,
I was wondering if they were doing multiple dates.
No, this is...
Fine.
It's a big deal for them to get the cost down to $25, and it's a big deal to have education for every elected official. So, sorry if you can't make it, we'll try to...
Carpooling?
Bring information. Depends if somebody wants to carpool with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the AWC really wanted me to bring this back in terms of they are frustrated with the upcoming session in Olympia, and they wanted me to bring forward some points that you should remember. So for the last 2 years, liquor profits have been zero to the small cities. The marijuana profits are listed as zero for now and forever. And you mentioned enforcement. In terms of that all goes to the city, in terms of equipment, in terms of training our officers, there's no funds whatsoever. It's zeroed out. The Public Works Trust Fund, of which we depended on for a lot of subjects in here, has been zeroed out for the next 6 years.
Ooh. Oh.
Voted on by the legislature last year for the next 6 years. They will still fund projects that already bonded, but no new projects for the next 6 years was voted by the legislature.
That's because they're building a tunnel.
The potential that they believe...
Need a truck to knock over one of our bridges.
We were going down as Whatcom County as a coalition of small city mayors to talk to the legislature on the 22nd of November. I'll get that date to you if you want to come along. That's great because we want to go to Olympia because there's one avenue that if you can't go to a meeting, we would appreciate that you reach out for your elected officials, and that's in the 42nd district, is that there's one avenue of let's freeze all road projects for 14 until we get reform of how road projects are done. So until we get reform, we'll take all of 14 working on how we do road projects differently. One, our governor's already rejected in terms of the AWC and our 42nd district supported it in terms of not taxing ourselves for road projects. And in terms of state road projects, they pay sales tax. Our governor has already vetoed that. But the worrisome part is that we'd like them to go on the angle of we want you to do reform, we support reform, at the same time that you do funding. Small cities can't go backwards a full year.
No.
And you can see our public works director with the look on her face, and you can see Katie Ratter over here. They've worked very hard to have projects go forward. They've worked very hard to present a project. There's no doubt that the Church Road project is the number one rated project in all of Whatcom County. We don't need to see that derailed while we work at reforming projects throughout the state. So I'll send the date to you in terms of the meeting that the mayors are coming. You're welcome to go with us. If you can't, we're urging you to email your legislature and say, look, don't look at 14 as a zero. Look at reform at the same time you're funding them. So then that's my other one. The meeting, hopefully you can make it. If you can, I understand. Obviously, tomorrow night is a big night. Good luck to all of you that are running and not running in the audience. And that's it for mayor reports. So council reports. Councilperson Watson.
This Thursday is the breakfast for the Boys and Girls Club. Starts at 7:15. Free breakfast, but please bring your checkbook. It's right over at the event center. And come early because the parking can be a little tough. Again, it starts at 7:15. You'll be out of there by 8:30. And Trinkets and Treasures, the fundraiser for the band. They're looking for trying to get some new uniforms. That's going to be on the 16th, and this will be a lot of fun stuff there. It's going to be at the Ferndale High School.
9 to 5
on the 16th, yes.
So do you want to share with the council what the hit song of the first annual Senior Citizen Gala was?
No, not really. One toco with a lime, sweet cheese.
That was, I believe, in honor of tonight.
It was in honor of tonight. Yes, it was.
Only in Ferndale.
Only in Ferndale.
Any other council reports? Councilperson Zimmerman.
Yeah, I have these printed up. The this is a potential resolution. As you heard the mayor says, you know, we're kind of getting the short sheets on getting some money back from the liquor, and we see a lot of potential costs and expenses with the marijuana issue. So I think that we'll refer this back to committee, and then we'll...
Yep.
Planning and land use, and we'll look over it. So it's, I just think it's a way that if we're laying the foundation of kind of an equality thing and trying to minimize the cost and how we're going to best prevent, you know, the underground market, the black market, and a lot of stuff, because if we can't really control it, what the whole process was, you know, to moot, and we're just creating more, you know, criminals and everything else, and a lot of work for our police force. So that's where we're trying to go with this. So thank you.
Okay, so we'll be back in committee. Any further council reports? Councilperson Hansen.
Very quickly, kind of dovetailing into the Trinkets and Treasures, your Ferndale band is going to march in the state championships on Saturday down in Auburn. And they have a very, not just a very good, it's, they're a slam dunk unless there's something that, somebody that they're not aware of out there, for the AAA championship. If you haven't seen their presentation this year, that's your last opportunity. Well, it may be at Bellevue Friday night, depends on whether they're
going to. So do they perform the regular band and the zombie band? That's all one band?
That's
now?
One band.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you get a chance, you haven't seen the zombie band.
It's just
impressive. Yeah.
It's they took all the marbles and effort here 2 weeks ago.
Very exciting.
All of the, you know, they were the best AAA band, plus they took General Effect, they took brass, they took woodwinds, percussion, and one other, oh, color guard.
Wow.
So
impressive.
They took all the marbles.
Great.
Cool.
Any other council reports?
As I said.
Seeing none. Staff. Finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator.
Nothing.
Planning?
Yes. So the FEIS on the jail is going to be released this week. There's going to be notification in the Ferndale Record. County Council, we're going to County Council Committee on November the 12th on an interlocal agreement related to development standards. So we work very closely with them. And then lastly, last week we took part in a community education meeting up at Cascadia, where we had over 100 representatives of the Portal Commons and Portal Manor community. We're working very well with them to make sure they understand their rights and responsibilities, and we hope to take that show on the road and go to other neighborhoods.
Real quick, next date time for the joint UGA meeting with the county and the cities, is that the 3rd of December? Or
it is the 3rd of December. It's
Silver Reef, I believe.
Is it at Silver Reef, or is it the Lummi Nation?
Is it
you might be, yeah, you might be correct.
I'm quite sure that it is there.
Yeah.
Could you send an email to council so we'll know?
Very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Public Works? Clerk?
Council members, I just want to let you know I've been keeping you updated on our wellness program, and one of the things we've been working on was our employees having to do a survey, a health questionnaire. We needed 50% in order to qualify for the award called the Well City Award. We got our notification today that 62% of eligible employees and spouses participated. We've never got more than around 20% in any year ever. So to do what we did is pretty amazing. We got a mini grant of $265. I bet you're impressed. I hope you'll be a little bit more impressed that we're going to save 2% on all of our insurance premiums, which was $20,000 in 2015. So
yes,
we're very, very happy with that.
Any you want to put any results of the wellness walking?
We don't have the results yet for the wellness walking yet, Your Honor.
Do you want to mention, you know, the losing team so far?
Or? I do not. It is not my team.
Okay, please.
Just so competitive.
Okay. Per RCW 4230110, RCW 42.30.110, we'll,
and B,
we'll go into executive session. It's a legal matter on real estate. I estimate the discussion, I want to give us at least 45 minutes.
So are we gonna, we're going to stay here, right? Because we don't have nothing else left on the agenda.
We're going to kick everybody else out and stay here.
Afterwards. There is action afterwards related to right of our property.
If you're interested, you can sit
outside and
stand outside 45 minutes.
What's that?
Let out, leave it out.
AWC.
Okay, Ralph, what is what is 1971?
I'm going to write up from Cassie. I'm
going
to write up.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
That's really cool.
Motion, counsel?
Move to approve.
Yeah, move to approve. Second.
Okay, move to second.
So
in favor? What's that?
We need to clarify the motion.
Yeah,
it's not
motion,
appropriate.
The motion is to approve the recommendation of staff of 59,000 of
Nancy Ledford.
From Nancy Ledford, of which we pay
13%. We're reimbursed 6.5%.
So do we have to have the exact amount, Sam, you think?
No. Approximately 59,000.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
You need to make a note, the two council members that are now missing.
I will.
Just want to add, too, that Katie did a great job. Mediations are kind of unusual animals, and this time she actually went down there with some allowance to spend, and she did a very good job and worked through the whole process.
You spent your whole allowance.
And
oh,
I
spent
my
allowance.
Motion to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you, council.